I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama
always said I'd be the chosen one. Who's the spoiler? Are we the spoilers?
No, Cuomo. You see that yesterday? One-on-one with my dummy. I beat him. Cuomo loses.
The spoiler is you, not us. Get on board. Today starts early voting.
All of you Cuomo people need to get off of that wagon, because yesterday it was proven that Curtis beats Mamdani. Cuomo does not. So it is you people who are going to stay with Cuomo, who are going to split the vote, who are going to be the spoiler, because Curtis just proved once again that he is not backing out of this race. He's in it to win it. So you folks need to flip your script and get behind Curtis if you want to save this city. Them's just facts, folks.
That's just fact, folks. Nothing but the facts. And that is a New Yorker saying we cannot have Mamdani take control of our city. All the polls still say he's going to win. And the question being raised, look, Sliwa, if you would get out of the way, then Cuomo could have a better chance to win. But Sliwa is defiant, saying, I am not going to step down because the latest polls show that maybe I'm doing better than Cuomo. I have not seen that poll that he's referring to. Cuomo is still significantly trailing Mamdani, and Sliwa is even farther behind them, draining votes from Cuomo. And that's why you've got so many folks complaining that Sliwa, get out of the way. And he says, why should I get out of the way? Why doesn't Cuomo get out of the way? A piece in the New York Post points this out. Sliwa is polling at half of what he was polling this week in 2021. That was his previous mayoral bid. And half the vote percentage he actually got that year in what can be considered a blowout loss. That is, again, as it was reported to the New York Post. And then the one speaking about that, who served as Staten Island's councilman for 10 years, 4 years as the GOP minority leader, said just because he's been an effective and unserious candidate, an ineffective and unserious candidate, doesn't mean we have to throw our Republican vote away. People have a choice to make. Sliwa didn't like that either. He said, why don't you flat come out and endorse me? In a moment, I'm going to break down more of what some are talking about inside the Mamdani machine. Soros cash, consultants, radical imams, all engineering his power grab. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA. Here we are, October 27, 2025. Reminding you, with Larry Connors, USA, you do get news, analysis, opinion, and education. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. How do you do that? Well, you go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And everything goes up as a podcast later. In the event you cannot stay with us entirely during this hour, pull up the podcast. News Talk STL, LarryConnishUSA.com, LarryConnishUSA Facebook. And in fact, you can subscribe for free. We need minimum information. You go to LarryConnishUSA.com right now, click subscribe. We will send it to you every day. Until you say, I don't want it anymore. I know you're not going to do that. And we need minimum information, and we do not sell your information to anyone. So here we have Sliwa going against Mamdani, and of course, Cuomo is still in there. He is out polling Sliwa. I can't stress that enough. And we're approaching less than 3 weeks to the election now, maybe closer to two. I don't know how ground can be made up. But Sliwa, who founded the Guardian Angels and helped bring peace to the streets of New York City, is not one to walk away from a fight.
You saw yesterday's poll? Everybody, you're fixated on polls. Well, the poll yesterday said the first time they ever matched me one-on-one against Orn. Why is that? And all these polls never would do a one-on-one of Curtis Sliwa versus Zohan. It was always Cuomo Zohan. All of a sudden, first poll decides, hey, you know, he's a viable candidate. He won the two debates. He has momentum. Look at his social networking. Yeah, we'll match him up against Zohan. Guess what? I came very close to Zohan, a lot closer than Cuomo. So he should drop out because all he's been is an impediment. The failure of Eric Adams as mayor, the failure of Cuomo as a disgraced governor has paved the way for Zohan Mamdani.
Yeah, now that's correct. That kind of failure opened the door. And then behind the doors, behind the curtains, you had all these lib socialists pushing a candidate out the door to stand in front of them. Mamdani has never held a job, never had a job other than working for his mother. And now, of course, serving as a councilman in New York. And he's qualified to become the next mayor. You can ask the same question of Sliwa. He knew how to organize, put things together, but can he handle that kind of budget? Cuomo, if you're looking at the ability just to do that, that would have to be Cuomo. You could say Eric Adams, but Eric Adams has already been pushed aside, and he has thrown his support to Cuomo. I want to share this piece that was written, I believe it was in Axios, that inside the Mamdani machine, you got Soros cash, no surprise there, socialist, yep, radical imams, yes, they all came together to engineer Mamdani's path to power. And it begins by late 2017, a Palestinian-American activist, Linda Sarsour, once the darling of the Women's March, when they could identify what a woman was, and the self-declared face of the resistance against Donald Trump, was facing mounting criticism for anti-Semitic remarks and embracing extremist views. Now, in a photograph taken on a city sidewalk, she appeared, according to this article, the way they write it, unfazed, her iconic fist pumped in the air as she knelt shoulder by shoulder with campaign volunteers for a city council candidate. That photo was posted on the Facebook page the candidate used to promote his campaign. But he lost. But among the smiling faces also was this young organizer, Zohran Mamdani. That photo would mark the start, they say, of a carefully constructed project that in less than a decade would have this 34-year-old socialist newcomer on the precipice of running America's largest city. And being good friends with radical imams, some who have supported terrorists and terrorist financiers. This was, I said earlier, an Axios piece. It was a Fox Digital write-out. There's a database of 110 groups, according to this article. 110 groups backing Mamdani, exposing a tight inner circle of organizations that identify as either Muslim or socialist. And they are working hand in glove with Democrat Party affiliates. There are two important parts of this political machine, apparently. Sarsour's M-Power organization and another constellation of groups called M-Gage. Listen to this. These groups have been generally funded. In total, billionaire George Soros, Open Society Philanthropies, given M-Power and M-Gage nearly $2.5 million dollars. That's in tax filings. They were going to prop him up to be where he is now. And, you know, he just recently got the endorsement, finally, of New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, who's also complaining about the GOP trying to gerrymander.
You said Democrats, there are no election deniers on our side of the aisle. You said that back in January. But recently, you've been using the term rigged elections in reference to the upcoming midterms. Democrats were appalled when President Trump used language like that. How do you justify using that now? Doesn't that undermine faith for voters? You need to show up.
No, I've been using that term in the context of Donald Trump's unprecedented effort to gerrymander congressional maps in a partisan fashion all across the country in order to rig the midterm elections and deny the ability of the American people to actually decide who should be in the majority as it relates to the House of Representatives.
You know, Democrats are also going through gerrymandering and redistricting.
No. Well, Democrats are going to push back aggressively to make sure that we have fair maps across the country,
right?
Not partisan gerrymandering, right, which Republicans have initiated in state after state after state.
And that's exactly what the Democrats were doing all this time. And finally, the Republicans thought, if that's the game, if that's how you're going to play it, we're going to redistrict here, approach the midterms, not wait for the next census. We're going to grab the reins now. Among those who's very active on gerrymandering, the entire northern part of state of Illinois Governor Pritzker continues to deny that his state is ravaged by crime, specifically murder. The murder rate is off the charts, but Pritzker refuses to acknowledge it.
Why does Chicago have the highest murder rate of all the big cities?
Well, we are not in the top 30,
right,
in terms of our murder rate.
Indeed,
our murder rate has been cut in half over the last 4 years, and every year it's gone down by double digits. And if you look at all of the violent crime over the last four years,
here's a map.
They've
most
all gone down.
U.S. cities, 17.47 per 100,000 population. Chicago is number one over Philadelphia, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Phoenix, Los Angeles, New York, and San Diego.
What I'm explaining to you
now
is when you want to
violent
fight
crime.
Look, you can pull statistics up.
No,
I can
these are
too.
Murders.
I'm explaining to you that our murder rate has been cut in half. And very importantly, Brett, and you got to hear this, very importantly, we've been doing the things that are necessary to bring crime down, right? We've invested in community violence interruption. We've invested in police.
He actually expects us to buy that story. Meanwhile, you're encouraging your citizens to fight against police and law enforcement, ICE in particular. And Pritzker would have you believe we've reduced it. We're way, 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 way down. I don't know if you start counting the graves, I don't think you find that number holds up. And the stats are very clear. Illinois leads the nation right now when it comes to murders of the major cities, number of murders per 100,000. But again, the left, they see it through their rose-colored, painted, stained glasses, which basically is like a kaleidoscope. Turning the wheel, you'll see something better that you like. AOC, perfect example.
Right-wing incitement of violence against trans Americans in this country because they cannot let go of this obsession with fixating violence and inciting violence against trans and LGBT people, in addition to immigrants, in addition to women of color. This is a party that cannot pick on anyone their own size.
And this is coming from a leader of the left, the far left, that is basically saying we're attacking the LGBTQ. I don't know of any violent attacks carried out recently, have you, against that community? I do know that some of them have carried out attacks. And I do know that a man who stood for Christ, the Bible, and sticking to faith Charlie Kirk was gunned down because he dared speak the truth and use his First Amendment rights. And I've yet to hear a single leftist condemn what happened to Charlie Kirk. If they did it, they did it in a whisper. They did it in a back room where it wouldn't be amplified. Why would they not speak out against it? Here's AOC claiming the right is attacking the LGBTQ community. If they're adults, they can live their lives the way they want. I don't care. I was watching the other night a rerun of Law and Order. Always a great program. Good writing. And one of the stories involved two women who had a baby, artificially inseminated in another person, and they got the baby. And then one of the women wanted to take control of the baby and move away, and the other one didn't. Bottom line, it came down to they're saying, well, that's the way they wanted to live their lives. They want to be married to each other in the same sex, so be it. And the line that came out of one of the characters was, they should have to marry opposite sex, suffer like the rest of us. That's pretty much what it came down to. Right now, our economy is doing better than the left wants you to believe, but it's going to be hitting some bumps pretty soon. If the left does not understand, you have created this mess. You're making Americans suffer. Oh, but that's what you want. You want Americans to suffer all over. Well, oil prices have climbed a little bit since Thursday, but if you look at the gas pump right now, you're really seeing some very good prices. How fast could that change? Right now, Trump is trying to squeeze Russia's key crude buyers. That would be China and India. He has a meeting set with Chinese leader Xi, later this week. How will that affect you and your energy cost and everything else we rely on? That's still to come. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to tell you more about Wellington Environmental's dustless blasting services. Wellington can blast paint, grease, graffiti, even stripes off parking lots. Truly amazing and powerful. But can Wellington blast something more sensitive? Yes, Wellington can use dry ice to blast soot and odors off smoke-damaged surfaces right after a fire. Currently, Wellington uses dry ice to clean mold off wood inside a home. Why? Well, dry ice immediately disappears, turns into a vapor. That means no mess to clean up, no damaged surfaces. You need to check with Wellington, always researching and practicing with new, better, faster, safer equipment and products for you. And it's very easy to schedule an estimator for your next project. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com.
So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life, without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Been snooping on the door. You can wag your tail, but I ain't gonna feed you no
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. The group called Gas Buddy that monitors gasoline prices across the nation says lower prices are on the horizon. Is that true? It would be perfect going into the Thanksgiving travel season. And joining us now is the founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation, Jay Young. Jay, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it.
Well, the oil prices did climb about 5% last week after Trump said they're going to put more sanctions against those who are supporting Russia in the war against Ukraine, India and China. What's happened since then?
Yeah, well, coming off of it a little bit, and we're seeing demand increase. We're going to have demand increase. We're not going to have peak oil demand for a long time, but you're seeing a little stabilization with geopolitical, you know, what's going on with geopolitical. And I mean, that's the bottom line here, Lee. You're going to see that we're going to have stronger demand in the future. The supply is going to get kind of ricocheted. Oh, if that's the right word or not. But
I think it's a good one.
Yeah. Ricocheted off of like a pinball. Because you know we're just going to see a lot of different people that are going to talk about OPEC coming in and flooding the markets, which they have been here lately. We're oversupplying with the Shell and the Wolfcamp and the Permian Basin, which we are producing a lot, but it's going to last, but it's not going to last forever. We're going to see a shortage of oil coming into the first quarter of 26 because a lot of companies have not taken Trump's drill baby drill to heart.
And why not?
Well, because it just makes sense economically. You know, these wells are $12 to $15 million. They're extremely expensive to drill. And if you can't, you know, at the end of the day you get, you know, $70-$80, it just doesn't make sense to continue drilling them. And until there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets and what's going on with OPEC and the government and tariffs. So the oil and gas companies, the public oil and gas companies, have just come off of drilling. I mean, like the rig count's down 44% in the last 2 years. What that means is 44% in the Permian Basin in the last 2 years.
Right.
What that means is basically a lot of public companies are not willing to put that money at risk and wonder about what's going to happen on the return side. So until they see some stabilization of prices, tariffs, things of that nature, they're just going to, there's going to stay steady and not drill as many wells. There's been a lot of big deals done. There's $300 billion worth of divestitures the last couple of years. We're just seeing a market that's just stabilizing and people are looking at the long game.
You're listening to Jay Young. You're listening to Jay Young, founder and CEO of King Operating Corporation, also author of the book, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. I grew up in the Permian Basin, West Texas. I'm oil field trash and proud of it. My dad worked the oil wells and so forth. And I don't recall at that time what the price of a barrel was, West Texas crude. What is it now?
It's $61, $62 today.
62.
Back then, it was a lot less.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That I did know.
But just think, the Permian Basin hasn't really gained any strength until the last 10 years with horizontal drilling and Wolfcamp and fracking and all that. We were a million barrels of oil. I grew up out there too, but it's a million barrels of oil a day 10 years ago. Today it's 6 million barrels every day. So you can see the strength of the Permian Basin and what's happened with shale. And oil and gas in the Permian Basin, but it's not coming to a halt, but they are slowing down drilling in that area because.
What about opening up Alaska, which Trump has done?
Well, that's true. Opening up the Alaska and things of that nature is what he's doing right now. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's true, but it's going to take years. It'll take years for those barrels to be put into our daily supply. You know, we need 20 million barrels a day in the United States. We produce 13. We still need 7 million barrels from overseas. And we're just going to need that. And it's going to be one of those that you know, the Permian is going to slow down, which it has. The wells that are already online decline at a rapid pace. So you're just going to see, you know, the supply in the United States go down a lot. I say dramatically. I don't know about dramatically, but I can see it go back into the 12s, maybe lower 12s, 12 million barrels a day. And when you see that, you're just not having a good day when you're talking about, you know, what we need in the United States to not.
Well, now, some of that
be more dependent, independent,
and Trump had praised the fact that we were energy independent on his watch. Was that exactly true?
No, sir. No, sir. Not meaning that do we consume every single drop of oil in the United States that we produce. That is not a correct statement. Now, what he is saying is, I like Trump sometimes, and sometimes I'm questionable. But on this particular stance, I know that's a long segment by itself. But you know, what he's doing is he's saying, hey, we're exporting oil. Our refineries can't handle it here in the United States, or the refineries that we have in the United States can't, you know, produce the type of oil that we need. So therefore, we're sending over oil to other countries. Now, that's true because we can't refine it here. And because we can't refine it, he's saying, okay, well, we're producing as much as we can use.
All right.
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, 20 minus 13, 7, you know, still a negative number.
Well, to that extent, and more refineries online, bring more refineries online. Would that be
absolutely? Yeah. 100%.
And what's 100%. Holding?
Joe Biden could have.
What's holding that back?
Yeah. Well, Joe Biden could have done something about it, and I believe Trump's going to do something when he increases the capacity per refinery. But you have California that they shut down a million barrel a day plant. You know, last year, there's a second one that they're concerned about. So you're going to have refineries shutting down. But to put a new refinery online, it would cost so much money, and the regulations and where do you put it, things of that nature, it would be, you know, catastrophic. I think the lawyers would be the ones that... The lawyers and the politicians would be the ones making the most money off that.
Yeah,
put a brand new refinery in.
You're probably right.
Yeah,
to that extent, also, I mean, we do need trade relations with other countries, so we do some of that anyway. But Trump is also in the process going to restock our emergency supply, the oil reserves that Biden drew down.
Yes. And he has done that a little bit. He's going to do more of it as prices go down. We've got a good supply right now, so I think we're okay there. We need to put that oil on the market to keep the prices down, you know, every day right now. And I think that's what Trump's doing. He's saying, well, we've got enough supply. We're just going to put it back into the system. So, you know, because that's the reason why oil prices do go up and down is because of supply and demand. I mean, yeah. That's, you know, if we oversupply it, then it's not as important. So therefore, you know, prices are going to come down and vice versa.
And the common American is more concerned about what am I paying per gallon? We're seeing prices under $3 per gallon now. How much longer will that last?
Yes. Yeah, I think it's still end of the year, and I would go ahead and take that lawnmower down to the gas station and fill it up, even though, I mean, it's not that much gas.
Now, you know, you say that. You know, I mean, Southwest Airlines, they took advantage of that a few years ago with aviation fuel when it was so cheap. They bought up barrels, I should say, not just barrels, but whole containers, and then had it to the side. Yeah. So when everybody else had to jack their prices, they didn't have to.
Absolutely. Especially during COVID.
Yeah.
When they could have bought it for $3, $10, $20. That's exactly. That's what we tried not to sell it. We tried to store it as much as we could so we didn't have to sell it, because if you sell it, you're selling it for a lot less price. And we couldn't find the storage tanks fast enough on some of it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, this is the time right now that you take advantage of these, in my opinion, and you know, Jay Young wrote the book Upside of Oil and Gas Investing, which I'd be glad to send some out to your audience. But, you know, and that's what we're looking at is right now. It's a really good time to look at participating in a growth plan, find a good company to invest in oil and gas, because this is a good time while prices are down to buy low, sell high. Look at it as a sense of, hey, you know what? We're going to build up and build up over the next couple of years. That's what our plan at King Operating is. But I'm just saying that right now is a good time, because it just costs us $1 million less to frack a well than it would have if we would have done it at $70, $75 a barrel.
All right.
We're saving money.
Jay said that book again, The Upside of Oil and Gas Investing. And you're going to send a barrel of oil with each book. Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be great. Wouldn't that be good? That'd be really good. I don't know what people would do with it, you know, but that would be great.
Jay, thank you for your time.
I'd be glad to send the next. Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You bet. Appreciate your time. Yeah, you got to take advantage of these when they're there. But, of course, the international stage we didn't get a chance to get to, and that's still a big part of the deal, and that is dealing with Russia selling to enemies of Ukraine. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
We welcome Tom Shaw Realtors, selling, buying, leasing property all over Missouri, almost 100 years. Call Tom, 314-283-5064, shawrealtors.com. Hey, looking for windows that solve your problems and actually add value to your home? Renewal by Anderson. Anderson products increase your home value by at least 15%. Right now, get $329 off every window, $729 off every patio or entry door, and ask about our zero interest plan for 3 years. Renewal by Anderson, the full-service replacement division of Anderson. That's a name you've trusted for more than 122 years. Renewal by Anderson has FiberX frames, 20% stronger than vinyl, built to last. It's why we have more 5-star reviews than anyone in St. Louis. And only Renewal by Anderson backs it up with the nation's best warranty. Schedule your complimentary consultation, rbastl.com, or call 877-WINDOWS, 877-WINDOWS. Renewal by Anderson, superior products, exceptional service. I just checked the events planned at Lit Cigar Lounge, so I'm planning a lot of time there. Top-of-the-line cigars, premium whiskey. Check out litstl.com and join me. Hey, and if we get hungry, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, just a few doors down. We can order from the menu, be at our table within minutes. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley and Lit Cigar Lounge, litstl.com.
This is News Talk STL.
can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, Kristen, you know, it's unfortunate. As much as I like you, you like to cherry pick. So, you know, when we came in, it was eggflation, eggflation, eggflation. You know, egg prices are down, gasoline prices are down. Overall, the inflation since President Trump has come in, has come down. We inherited this terrible affordability crisis from the Biden administration. The first thing we had to do was get it under control. And this month's inflation number was actually below the consensus number. If we look at core inflation, it was 0.2%, which was the lowest it's been in a long time. Rents are coming down. So, you know, Kristen, you don't get to cherry pick. Inflation is a composite number, and I am confident that in the coming months, inflation is going to come down.
Those are the words of our Treasury Secretary Bessent in an interview over the weekend with Kristen Welker. And saying, look, you cherry pick. You say, look at these prices are up. These prices are up. He said, when you start cherry picking like that, you're ignoring the reality of the American shopper. Granted, if you're going to go out and buy something, you're really going to go buy some cherries, let's say, specifically. There's a good time to buy them and a bad time to buy them. Bad time to buy them is when they're at their highest price and there is a shortage. Same thing with eggs and everything else. But that's what the left wants to do. Always point to the worst case scenario. They will not do that when it involves anything they were supposedly responsible for. It's look away, look away. In the meantime, the Federal Reserve is facing a dilemma amid an expected rate cut decision. The inflation is currently and remains stubbornly above the Fed Reserve's 2% target rate. And yet, the next rate decision is scheduled in Wednesday, this week. And they're facing a weakening labor market and elevated inflation. But the problem is, Fed policymakers are widely expected to cut the federal funds by another quarter point, lowering the target to an average from 4 to 3.75%. This is just after September when they came out. They delayed and delayed, and now we're up against the wall. The Dow Jones closed Friday above 47,000 for the first time, an historic close. If you play the markets, you know it's always going to be a seesaw. You just hope that you are at the top when everything comes to a halt. But the way the left wants you to know and treat everything, anything that doesn't look good to you, that's Trump's fault. So if you go to your gasoline station today and you go to fill up and you realize, I'm only paying $3.10, where last week is $3.55. Don't give Trump credit. They will say, give the Democrats the credit. The same ones that right now are hijacking the American public and keeping you from having a budget, much less paychecks, going to federal workers. They keep bouncing this around. They do not want to deal with reality. And that's why we have inflation well above the Fed's target, ahead of their decision, which will come Wednesday. In the meantime, trying to work out trade deals. That's what Trump has been busy doing, and he's in the process of doing the best he can as he's working with the various nations. I want to let you hear directly from the U.S. Trade Representative Greer Wave, who's been watching these trade deals that include Cambodia and Malaysia. And you're maybe going to say, what's that got to do with the price of my milk? There is a correlation.
The rest of America is working. The farmers are working. The manufacturers are working, and they need to ship their products overseas. We're at a critical time in the world, and we need to make sure that we know who our friends and allies are. And coming on this trip, making these trade deals, making deals on critical minerals, this is a national security issue. It's an economic security issue, and it's critical that the president be here. And we've already seen a great outcome today. We signed two full trade deals with Malaysia and Cambodia, two agreements in principle with Thailand and Vietnam. We made critical minerals deals. We did a peace deal between Thailand and Cambodia. I mean, this is the president's job, and he's doing it.
And yet you've got people like Hakeem Jeffries saying he needs to be in this country taking care of our issues, taking care of our budget. Mike Johnson's doing that on behalf of the Republicans. And one call from Trump and he'll do whatever Trump says. But right now they've made it very clear, the Democrats, you guys continue to stall and fight off any effort to have a clean resolution bill. I told you earlier, in case you missed it, that one of the nation's largest labor unions representing federal employees is saying that we should be going back to work. We should not have this money cut off. They are speaking out against the Democrats. Democrats aren't taking it very well. The heat's getting hotter. Oh, it's nice when you put the lobster in the warm water. It's nice little bath. Feels pretty good. It's getting a little warm. It's getting a little warm. It's getting hot in here. Nelly comes singing, and the lobster is ready to eat. It got hot in there. Trump today is in Japan, but this is a setup to a major meeting with Premier Xi.
The president just landed here in Tokyo a couple of hours ago, the second stop on his three-country swing through Asia. And the big news here in Asia is the apparent breakthrough over the weekend in U.S.-China trade talks after 6 months of tension. President Trump's first stop here in Tokyo was the Imperial Palace, where he was greeted by the emperor. Trump got a welcome fit for royalty in Kuala Lumpur, too, and even joined in as Malaysian dancers performed for him on the tarmac. In Malaysia, the president did one of the things he likes best, sign deals.
Well, this is so exciting.
Including a new peace agreement between Cambodia and Thailand that Trump helped to broker.
I wish you a smile.
But there is one deal the entire world is watching for, a trade deal between the two largest economies, the United States and China.
I think we're going to have a good deal with China, and they want to make a deal, and we want to make a deal.
And hopefully it will happen later this week. Will it be a final deal? Will there be some adjustments to it? Very likely. Trump told the leaders of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations Summit, I'm here on a mission of friendship and goodwill to deepen our ties of commerce. That's why they got the deal, peace deal between Thailand and Cambodia. And we also have new trade deals with Vietnam. All of this is an effort to enlarge the markets for the U.S. and the other countries, to let them have a chance to sell wares here, but also on a much more level trading field than we had under the Biden administration. And Trump continues to call for an end to the shutdown. He said, we just want people to get paid. How difficult is that? It's very difficult if you got to deal with Dems that are just going to hold on because the wind is coming and they're afraid if they loosen their grip the least bit, they will blow off into oblivion. This isn't Kansas anymore, Toto, but they're trying to hold on. The really big meeting, though, should come Thursday or Friday when he meets with Premier Xi.
President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping have been trading threats for months. China stopped buying U.S. soybeans and vowed to block sales of rare earth minerals that are crucial to high-tech manufacturing. Trump, in turn, vowed to impose an additional 100% tariff on Chinese imports starting next month.
I believe that that is effectively off the table.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said there was a breakthrough just this weekend in talks with his Chinese counterpart, and he said both sides walked back those damaging threats.
The soybean farmers are going to be extremely happy with this deal for this year and for the coming years.
Bessent says that Trump and Xi might finalize that deal when they sit down in South Korea later this week. And Bessent said he also got Chinese sign-off on a deal to transfer the U.S. operations of TikTok to new owners so China doesn't have as much access to Americans' data.
That would be a great idea. And that's probably going to be part of the ones they sign. In the meantime, you still had Democrats, especially in blue cities and states, they're going to fight every way they can to disrupt anything that Trump is accomplishing. Perfect example, California. Well, now the Transportation Secretary Duffy says, if you're going to continue to fight against us and you're not going to step up and do what's right for the American people, not for the radical left, then we might start pulling federal dollars that are funding some of your programs that are, in fact, hurting Americans.
Gavin Newsom has thumbed his nose at us. He's refused to comply with the rules that have come from DOT, which is stop issuing these licenses, number one. And number two, go back and review all the licenses that you have issued and make sure it's been done legally. Gavin Newsom has said no. So, one, I'm about to pull $160 million from California. And as we pull more money, we also have the option of pulling California's ability to issue commercial driver's licenses. Gavin Newsom cares more about illegals getting commercial driver's licenses than he does the citizens of his own state and the safety of Americans. It's shameful. He's been lying about what he's been doing. And again, we're gonna fight tooth and nail under President Trump's administration to make sure that we hold states like California accountable.
And we have pointed this out previously. An untold number of illegals are driving trucks, big 18-wheelers, across our nation. I told you one trucker told me, he said he would guesstimate, his guesstimate, maybe 1 in 10, 1 in 12, maybe 1 in 15, is driven by an illegal. Now, if they know what they're doing and how to handle it, you wouldn't know. But if they cannot read road signs, understand English, you're looking for a tragedy at any point. So Sean Duffy says, we'll just start pulling your ability to put those trucks on the road. There's where the Department of Transportation can come in. You want to run them in your state, under your state laws, go ahead. But they're not going to be able to go interstate and put Americans at risk outside your state. But, of course, it does not make things safer for California residents or visitors. In the meantime, the other part of transportation right now is air traffic control. Staffing shortages worsened over this weekend. We're now into our fourth week of the Chuck Schumer shutdown. There are going to be more delays and anxieties, and air traffic controllers are not being paid right now. As of last Friday morning, more than 50 staffing shortages caused delays from Los Angeles to D.C. Air traffic controllers are considered essential workers, so they must work during the shutdown, but they're not being paid. And some of them might take the attitude that, look, if I'm not being paid, I'm just going to go to work. Do you realize the domino effect of that? The air traffic controller that says, I'm not going to go to work, that means those who are at work now have greater responsibility, trying to handle more planes, or you begin to curtail air traffic. Planes are not allowed to leave. Are very big delays. Connecting flights, out of the question. Not going to happen. Transportation Secretary Duffy said, controllers are wearing thin, and calling in sick as they continue to go without pay. I had estimated that the shutdown will be over before Thanksgiving, because who wants to be responsible for not letting you get to go see grandma, or the other way around? The government did shut down for 35 days in December 2018 to January 2019. That was right through Christmas and into New Year's. It ended after 10 air traffic controllers stayed home and all the air traffic got snarled at that point. Right now, they're able to route flights to space where air traffic controllers are working, but there were more than 6,000 flight delays in or out of the U.S. yesterday. Some of it weather-related. Some of it had to do with air traffic controller ability. And some of it just more people trying to get somewhere. The Democrats are going to eat this the way it is right now. They're going to end up making a decision. Why not make the decision now instead of later? Because they want you to suffer. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.